1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 28 and 29. This month we have been looking at the theme, Launch Out by Faith. Launch out by faith. And today we want to look at this subject matter, faith's vision. Faith's vision. And notice now, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Faith's vision. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the great truth that Jesus spoke. I will come again. Thank you again for that day that somebody cared enough to tell us of the gospel and how that we could be saved. But Father, we know that that same faith that saves ought to give us a sense of anticipation, looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. So prick our hearts, stir our hearts, and help our hearts to be just melded closer and closer, knitted closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you ready for the call? Because Jesus is coming and he can come at any moment. Do you believe that? Amen. According to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 19, one thing that was beyond amazing was the way of an eagle in the air. The eagle eye is among the strongest in the animal kingdom, with an eyesight estimated at 4 to 8 times stronger than that of the average human. An eagle is said to be able to spot a rabbit 2 miles away. An eagle has become more and more one of my favorite birds that I like to follow and I like to read about. And truly, as Solomon wrote, the way of an eagle is beyond amazing. We need to have, like an eagle, a laser-like focus on the coming of Jesus. Church, the Bible says that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look unto him, we need to envision his coming. His coming may be today. Did you even think about that when you woke up? When you got out of bed this morning, did you think about that this may be the day that Jesus comes for his church? We need to envision by faith his coming. Jesus said in John 14, I will come again. You see, he will come again. That is the cry, ought to be, of every believer. Even so, come Lord Jesus, ought to be the prayer of every believer. And perhaps today ought to be the concern of every believer. So when we get the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ down in our thoughts and live in the realm of that truth, it will do 3 things for us. First of all, it will create within us a sense of anticipation. Look at verse number 28 again. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. There was no doubt in the mind of John here who penned these words that Jesus Christ was going to come again. He lived with that sense of anticipation. Jesus did not come in his day, but it still did not negate the promise that he will come again. And he says here that when he shall appear. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Hebrews 9 and verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. All of those passages of Scripture reveal to us the great truth of the realness of his coming, that Jesus Christ can come at any moment, that we are not looking for the signs, we are looking for the Savior. He's coming. It is real. It is a reality one day, and it may be today that we are raptured, that we are taken out of here. But not only that, church, we find the nearness of his coming, because in verse number 28, it says here, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Say, Pastor, when do you think the coming of Christ is? I don't know. Foolish is the one who sets the dates, right? Jesus taught that no man knows the day nor the hour. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he is coming. Say, how do you know that? Why do you believe that? Because a quarter of this great book that you hold in your hand is all about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that tells me that it is an important truth that we as God's people ought to have within us a sense of anticipation that Jesus can come at any moment. Do you carry within you that sense of anticipation? Are you living with that reality? Every day that you wake up, do you think this is the day Jesus comes? Or do you think this? Oh man, another day. I hope I can make it. Well, I tell you, one of the things that will help you make it is to keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because he may come today. The Bible tells us in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. For each and every one of us here this morning, there has been a salvation date in our life. For me, it was 9 years old. For you, it was probably a different age. Maybe younger than that, maybe older than that. But you can give a testimony of your salvation. Praise the Lord for that. But the Bible says our salvation, our deliverance is nearer than when we believed. So in other words, we are now just one day closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So what was Jesus teaching his disciples then, and what is the Word of God teaching us now? It is teaching us that in our everyday life, we are to be living with the truth that Jesus may come at any moment. Now, is that something you look forward to? Or is that something that you have some fear about? You see, it is not, if you would, given to us as Christians, a truth that is given to us to fear, but rather it ought to instill within us a great sense of anticipation. I am looking forward to seeing my Savior and Lord. He is coming, church. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because he may come today. Before this service is over, we may be in his very presence. And so the Bible teaches us that we ought to have within us a sense of anticipation as we think about faith, and faith looks forward. Faith looks forward to what? It looks forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. But not only does that stir within us a sense of anticipation, but it stirs within us a sense of examination. Notice this, same passage. Again, the Bible says in verse number 28, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Now that word confidence has an understanding of being without restraint, uninhibited. In other words, that when he comes, there is no fear in me. There is all this confidence in the world that when he comes, praise God, I'm taken out. I'm not left behind because of his saving grace in my life. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going to be with him. What a confidence that can instill in us. But we find also that in the same verse, it talks about, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I can remember back in the day when I was a child, my mom would say this phrase, wait till your father gets home. Well, I was hoping his coming would be a long time. Because she didn't say that unless I was in trouble. And so when I saw Dad driving down that driveway, I knew what was coming. It was automatic. And so I did not look forward to Dad coming home. Here in this passage, the Bible says that we ought to be able to have confidence before him at his coming and not be ashamed, which carries the idea to feel shame, to be disgraced. And so I ask the question, what would cause us to be ashamed? What would cause us to be embarrassed? If Jesus were to come right now, would you have confidence or would you be ashamed? So what would cause us to be ashamed? One, follow carefully. The presence of known sin in my life. Now, there's not a one of us in this congregation, sorry, but there's not a one of us that's perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Every one of us. So let's put that, get that straight right off the top. There's not a one of us here this morning that is without sin. But we ought to be able to say, as far as I know, between my relationship with the Lord, there is nothing between me and the Savior. Now, can you say that? Can you say with all confidence that there is nothing between you and God right now in your relationship with him? You see, if you can say that, then that instills with you confidence that says, even so, come, Jesus, come. But if there is the presence of known sin in your life that you are not dealing with, then when he comes, it can cause you to feel ashamed before him at his coming. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, you and I, as God's people, if we are living in the reality that he can come at any moment, it's going to cause within us a great sense of examination that we will keep short accounts with God. That we won't let some sin in our life just continue to fester and fester and fester. No, we will deal with it right away. Because we want to be able to have confidence before him when he comes. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be ashamed before his coming. We want to be confident before him at his coming. Again, I'm not talking about perfection, but as far as we would be able to say today, because each day that comes, we have to examine again. But today, Am I in right relationship with my Lord and Savior? Are you able, where you are seated right now, to be able to say there is nothing between me and the Savior? If not, then let the Holy Spirit of God even now deal with you about that, turn away from it, and say, Lord, help me to be pure in this area. Help me to be right with you in this area so that I can have confidence before you at his coming. So, what could cause us to be embarrassed? What could cause us to be ashamed before the Lord at his coming? One, the presence of sin. Secondly, the absence of service. The absence of service. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So in other words, now that I am saved, I haven't been saved to sit, I have been saved to serve him. I have been saved to follow him. I have been saved to walk in his steps. I have been saved to serve. And so when you think about that then, think about it this way. And think about your service in light of a coming event beyond the coming of Christ. And that would be, for the Christian, what is known in the Bible as the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to the verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No Christian is going to avoid the judgment seat of Christ. Now, don't let that scare you, per se. Okay? But think about it this way, because here is the purpose of standing there. Listen to the rest of the verse. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, when we stand at that judgment seat of Christ, our works, our service unto the Lord is going to go through the fire. And our works will come out either as gold and precious stone or as wood, hay, and stubble. I don't know about you. I know what I want. I know how I want that to turn out. But I think about this. Why would our works go through the fire? One of the reasons would be to test the motives of why we serve the Lord. If you perform something for the Lord and serve the Lord for the praise of man, Jesus said what? You have received your reward. You've already got it. You got what you wanted to hear. But Jesus wanted us to lay up our treasures in heaven, and he wanted us to have a forward thinking that one day when we stand at that judgment seat, we would be able to hear his commendation that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you agree with me that would be far better than to hear the praise of men? I mean, that would be far better to hear the Lord say, well done. You ran the race that was set before you. You finished the course. You've kept the faith. Now, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, in our life, we are called to serve with the proper motives in mind. Would you continue to serve the Lord if you never, from this day on, ever heard a word of commendation from men? I trust that you would be able to say yes. I know there's something that we have to continually die to, and that is our ego and our pride. But sometimes we just like to hear an attaboy. We'd like to have somebody just, hey, you're doing a good job. But I'm telling you what, if that is our prime motivation to serve the Lord, it's the wrong motivation. The proper motivation is to live with the coming of Jesus in sight, because I'm going from there to the reward seat. I'm going to the judgment seat. And I want to be able to hear from Jesus, well done! Well done! Say, can you have that confidence even now? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to show this to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe that Paul sure thought so. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That was his testimony. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How did Paul know he was going to get that? He hadn't even been to the judgment seat yet. But he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord is going to give me at that day, because while I lived here below, one of the things that I lived with was this thought: Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And Paul, that never got far from his thoughts. And it enabled him to keep the faith. It enabled him to finish the course. It enabled him to fight a good fight, because he kept the coming of Christ in view. By faith, Paul did that. And when he examined his life, he comes now down to the end of it, and he says, there awaits an award for me. I believe one day Paul will be able to hear, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So back to our text in 1 John 2. As we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus, it gives us a sense of anticipation. It creates within us a sense of examination. But then, church, notice in the text, it gives us a sense of preparation. Preparation. Notice this now. The Bible says in verse 28, abide in him. You see, as we have this sense of preparation, it causes us to stay faithful. Abide in him, remain in him, continue in him. John 15:4, Jesus said it this way: abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Where does this confidence before his at his coming come from? By abiding in him, by staying close to him, by sweet fellowship with him, staying in the word. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. I mean, what a glorious privilege. Every day, children of God, you and I have the privilege of abiding in him. Now that can be at times easier said than done, but if we will stay faithful, this is something that we ought to just be so in tune with the Lord. Stay in tune with the Lord daily. But then, it ought to cause us to not only stay faithful, but to stay pure. Look at this now in chapter 3. Look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God, church. One day, you and I, according to this verse, we're going to see Jesus as he is, and we are going to be like him. That means, from that day on, we sin no more. Amen? We sin no more. Man, I'm looking forward to that day when I can sin no more. But notice the next verse. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know what? God has always been consistent, because God is always consistent, but he's always been consistent with this teaching, Old Testament, New Testament, church age, all the way through. God has always been consistent with this truth. He wants his people to live pure and holy lives. No matter what age and day that they are living in, we are called upon to live lives of holiness. Now, this isn't to pick on any particular group of people, but this doesn't mean that we, if you would, live without electricity, that we go to horse and buggy and so forth. That's fine for those group of people that want to do that. God is not calling us to become Amish. Okay? But what God is calling us to do, he's calling us to live holy lives before him. Now, if you stop and think about this, the Bible says that we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. Well, what does that mean? That means I am to be holy not only in the church building, but I am to be holy in my house. I'm to be holy in my car. I am to be holy at my workplace. In other words, there's not a place that it stops and begins. In other words, we are to be holy in all manner of our living. It's all encompassing. And so Jesus is coming. Stay faithful. Stay pure. He is coming. The Bible says, every man that hath this hope in him, what hope? That we shall see him like he is, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Say, well, I thought the Lord did the purifying. There is an element of truth to that. It's a lot of truth to that. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I want you to note verse number 1. To really appreciate what's being said in verse 1, let me just build for you. In chapter 6, he talks about in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And so he builds on this in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, in other words, there's this unique relationship that we as God's people can have with God, calling him our Father, and what a precious relationship that is. So, based on that relationship, he gets practical in verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, note what the responsibility is. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Did you catch the practical part of that? Yes, God is calling us to holiness. Yes, God will be a father unto us. But he says, having that promise, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, I grew up in an era in which a lot of holiness preaching, if you would, if I could call it that, many times parked on a lot of what I call don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Man, as I began to understand that, I was measuring up pretty good. But then I realized that that's not the end of the verse. Not only cleanse myself from the filthiness of the flesh, but also my spirit. You see, there was a group of people in the New Testament that was very good at, quote, keeping the law. In our day, we would call them legalist. They prayed so many times a week. They tithed so often, and they let you know it, by the way. And you know what Jesus did? He just ripped them apart. You know them as the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, you can read about it in Matthew 25 there. Matthew 23. There we go, get the right chapter. He just ripped them apart. He says, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And the word woe means judgment. He says, you may clean the outside of the cup. Oh, you're good at cleansing that old flesh. But Jesus says, but I see something that man doesn't see. I see your heart. And he says, your heart isn't right with me. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Whew. I mean, it cut them up. So you mix that now with what 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, is not only important for us to perfect, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and what? Spirit. Again, I want to be careful here, not to lift myself up like some holy Joe back in the day, but I can remember some of those churches that, and I centered that kind of preaching, that I could take you to some in that church that they dotted the I's just right and they crossed the T's, they had all that fleshly part right, but they were meaner than a cat. They were mean. And you know what I thought? They had one side of the equation right, but they had the other side wrong. They could tell you how much they didn't watch television, how often they didn't go to movies, and how much they didn't drink, and boom, boom, boom. They could give you that good old list. But man, they knew how to rip the preacher up. They knew how to tear other Christians down in their church. You see, that Jesus is coming. I've not only got to be right with how I conduct myself externally, but I got to be right how I conduct myself internally. Isn't that what the Bible says? That's what it says right here. Perfect holiness in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. I may look good to you. I may appear good to you. That's what the Pharisees did. But Jesus said, hold it, men. Your heart is far from me. Your heart's, it's a miles down the road. You're keepers of the law, yes, and you even got more than whatever wrote. But he said, your spirit is wrong. Your heart's not right. So having said that, church, I take you back to 1 John. And every man that hath his hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. So I ask this morning as I close the message, are you ready to meet Jesus? One, I hope you could say yes. One, because I know I'm saved. If you're in this congregation this morning and not sure you're saved, you are not ready to meet Jesus. But you can be. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can come to Jesus today and receive him as your Savior, and he'll give unto you the gift of eternal life, and you'll be able to leave here and say, I know I'm ready now. But children of God, there's many of you this morning that you know you that issue is not a doubt in your mind. You're trusting God and his word. You know you're saved. Praise God. In that sense, you're ready. But are you really ready to meet him? He's coming. And because he is coming, let it stir within you a sense of anticipation daily. Let me just challenge you to do something this week. Every day, starting tomorrow, wake up with this thought. Jesus may come today. Tuesday comes. Jesus may come today, and do it all this week. Live in anticipation of his return. Secondly, live with a sense of examination. Be pure as he is pure. And then live with a sense of preparation. There's a Savior in heaven I have loved for many years. He has cleared all my guilty conscience and has banished all my fears. He is coming in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and no time will be allotted for you to utter one goodbye. No time to kiss the husband or embrace the loving wife if they are but united in the bonds of holy life. Are you ready, Christian? Ready for shout and trump and voice? Will his coming make you tremble or cause you to rejoice? Are you walking, talking with him daily, taking him your care? Do you live so close to heaven that a breath would carry you there? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you this morning for this great truth. We realize it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus came to this world, suffered and bled and died, and descended back into heaven. And so now we live today, here we are, living with the truth, Jesus will come again. Is that truth shaping our life? Father, you know if it is or not. Examine us this morning. Help us to be right with you. May we live with a sense of anticipation. So many things make us busy in life, and they're not wrong things, but so many things. We get wrapped up in the everyday living that we lose this sense of anticipation. Father, stir it up within us to live strongly with that anticipation of Christ's return. Help us to examine ourselves. And Father, help us this morning to live our lives daily in light of his coming. For that precious soul that doesn't know Jesus, may they come to know him today. It's in his name I pray. Now,